Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet the leaders of our Minnesota Veteran Service Organizations as they gather for a monthly meeting held at Federal Premium Ammunition in Anoka. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
How can I make a difference in the life of a military family? That's the question that comes to us at the Minnesota National Guard a lot this time of year. People start their to-do lists for holiday gatherings, and many think of those who won't be together over the holidays due to the commitments in the military. How can I make a difference in the life of a military family? I'd like to answer that question today. Go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on the Make a Difference button to get started. One of the easiest ways to support military families is by becoming active in your own community. Join a Yellow Ribbon network. You may not know if your community has an established Yellow Ribbon network. In that case, contact your local family assistance center. You may want to make a difference by donating to an already established organization here in Minnesota. There are dozens of such organizations that always support our military families that are looking for financial support. Another option is volunteering to assist a family. In addition to connecting with a family through your local Yellow Ribbon network, you can register on the Military Family Care Initiative website. This site, first developed by Mrs. Mary Polenti, allows groups and businesses to register volunteer services and discounts. Learn more about the ways that you can make a difference in the life of a family this holiday season by going to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and clicking on the Make a Difference button.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're at Federal Premium Ammunition today, and the Commander's Task Force has just finished their monthly meeting, following which we're doing the radio show, and then they're going to have a little lunch and take a tour of a 100-year-old facility up here in Anoka that's been making ammunition for all of our veterans and our hunters for many years. The Commander's Task Force is made up of nine veteran service organizations, including the American Legion, AMVETS, Disabled American Veterans, Jewish War Veterans, Marine Corps League, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Veterans of Foreign Wars, Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, and the Vietnam Veterans of America. But joining us for this segment is the newly elected commander of the VFW, and his name is Joe Mauricio, as well as the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Willie Pargo. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commander Joe, can you tell our listeners a little bit about where you served and when you served?
I served in Vietnam 1966 to 67. I served outside of Quy Nhon in an ammunition outfit, which is was in the valley.
So it must have been Army.
Yeah, I was in Army. Yes, I was in for 4 years. By mistake, but I did it.
Well, we all look back on that. It was quite a while ago, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Well, Commander, how did you get to the VFW, and how quickly did you join?
Well, to be honest with you, I only joined the VFW about 12 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you're the department commander, the state commander of the VFW. You must have gotten somebody pulled you into those chairs real quick.
Well, I did have a friend of mine that he is my chief of staff. Is an elderly gentleman named Gordy Kirk. He's 93 years old, and he got me involved in it.
So he was the mentor, and he kind of volunteered you, and away you went.
Yes, he did. It took a while, but I got here.
Well, I remember the VFW as well. I know all that volunteering. Mm-hmm. A bunch of World War II guys volunteered me back in 1973, and next thing I know, I was running the annual picnic before I knew what was going on. So, well, Commander, can you tell us what are your goals and aspirations for this year as the department commander of the VFW?
Well, my goals this year is, as everyone knows, is membership. And that's a hard subject to get. But I think if everybody, every organization works together, we can all get membership up by joining all the different organizations instead of just one, if you're qualified.
And, Commander, you are also the vice chair of the Commander's Task Force. And one of the things that you do, a couple of things that the Commander's Task Force does, is you get together and coordinate events among the various veteran service organizations. But the big thing is work together on some legislative issues.
Yes, that's it. We we just had a meeting now and some issues that we're going to work on, and hopefully when we meet with our governor or the senators and our, that we can address these issues and they'll work right along with us.
So you'll work together with the other veteran servant organizations and come up with a few topics that you want to work on in the next legislative session. And then in February, there'll be Veterans Day on the Hill, and we'll have the MDVA legislative coordinator and the chairman, I hope, of the Commander's Task Force on the show prior to that, so that we can tell all our listeners over the state the items that we're working on with our legislators and invite them to come down and meet with you on Veterans Day on the Hill.
Yes, we will. As a matter of fact, just before we had that meeting, the VFW will just be coming back from the Capitol and D.C., having meetings there with all our representatives. So they'll be pretty aware of what we want to do.
Now, Commander, before we talk to the military of the Purple Heart, I know that VFW department commanders usually have a commander's project. What's yours this year, sir?
My commander project this year is Wounded Warriors of Minnesota. It's an organization that it's basically a hockey organization right now, but we want to address it out to more types of sports. And it's to get all the Wounded Warriors together, skate or can't skate, to go out on the ice and have a good time.
Well, it sounds like that'll be a fun one. And, Commander, we're looking forward to having you back on the show several times this year. And next time you come on, we'll have 15 or 20 minutes, and we can talk a little more in depth about that commander's project.
All right, thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and today we're recording from Federal Premium Ammunition, just following up the Commander's Task Force meeting that just finished. And also with us today is Willie Pargo, who is the commander of the Military Order of the Purple Heart. Willie, can you tell us when and where did you serve?
I served in from 1966 through 1969. I served in Vietnam, just south of Da Nang at a place called Marble Mountain. I was a jarhead.
Marine. We know we got a Marine at the table. Watch out, Commander Joe. And how did you get involved? Obviously, somewhere in Vietnam, you got wounded.
Yes, I was wounded on July the 16th, 1967. I was wounded 13 days before the Forestall fire. I was aboard the USS Repulse when the Forestall fire happened. And we went and retrieved all the casualties from the Forestall to the hospital ship.
And fortunately, you look like you're walking around pretty well, so you healed up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing, sir. Can you tell us how did you get to the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and how did you get to be the commander?
I joined the Military Order of the Purple Hearts in 1989, and I became a member at large for about 10 years. In the hospital one day, another Purple Heart member invited me to join the chapter, and I went back into the same chapter that I originally joined. I've just been active ever since I got back in, and I just progressed through the ranks.
And Commander, can you tell us what's the mission of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and how many members do you have?
I think we have a little over 1,400 members in Minnesota, and our mission right now at the Military Order of the Purple Heart is to assist vets and recruit younger vets into the organization. One of our main missions now is working at the VA hospital, trying to assist the vets to come through there.
Yeah, the Minneapolis VA hospital, what's your sense of that? I'm a patient out there, and I think they do a great job.
I'm a member at the Purple Heart. I facilitate the office at the hospital there, and I'm also a Purple Heart recipient that volunteered the escort services. I escort patients throughout the hospital 5 days a week.
So you spend quite a bit of time out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
Oh, yes.
They do a fabulous job, don't they?
Oh, yes.
You know, I've told this story on the show before, but one of the scariest places you go at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is the shot clinic. Go down there first thing in the morning, and there's about 150 of the beat-up veterans that you've ever seen. It's scary, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they're good men. So can you tell us any big plans for the Military Order of the Purple Heart for this year?
Right now we are assisting the vets, and one of our major projects we have coming up is Veterans Day at the hospital. One of the military Purple Heart chapters will upgrade the meal at the VA hospital from whatever the daily meal is to prime rib which would be Veterans Day.
Prime rib on Veterans Day, and there's there's going to be a ceremony there on Veterans Day in the afternoon as well, right?
Yes.
As we had the VA Medical Center Director, Pat Kelly, on the show last week, and he told us that there's big doings that afternoon, and it's open up to everybody that wants to go out there. And he was also telling them that there's a shot clinic coming up for flu shots on, I think, the 25th, 26th, 27th of October.
I'll be there.
I was out there last week, so I'm ahead. I already got
mine, too.
Gentlemen, we're just about running out of time for this segment. Willie, any final thoughts for our listeners?
If you know any young members that qualify for the Purple Heart, please let us know. And if you qualify for any other organization, we'd be willing to forward this information over to our counterpart.
Thank you, sir. Commander Joe?
I would say that if you know of any veterans that are qualified to join the organization, men and women, that we encourage them, or you encourage them to join, because there is a lot of opportunities for them there. And that's my goal, is trying to get everyone to get what we didn't get.
And when we next have you on the show, we'll talk about all the great things that both of your organizations are doing to help our veterans in Minnesota. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. That was the commanders of the VFW and the Military Order of the Purple Heart. When we come back, we're going to visit with the commanders from the American Legion and AMVETS on Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting today from Federal Premium Ammunition. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And as we said in the first segment, we're recording today from Federal Premium Ammunition, following up on a meeting of the Commander's Task Force with the Veterans Service Organizations here in Minnesota. And joining us in this segment is the American Legion Commander, Denise Milton, and the AMVETS Deputy Commander, John Flores. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Commander Milton, I want to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your service? When and where did you serve?
I joined the Army. At that time, it was the Women's Army Corps. So we were actually separate from the Army.
Was it really? I didn't hear that before. It was a separate
entity? Yeah, the women, they had the WACS, the Women's Army Corps. Okay. Every branch of service had that until 1976. Congress decided that we were all service members in the same military.
Well, that was a good thing for them to do, wasn't it?
Yes.
And how did you get to the American Legion?
I remember the American Legion as a child for my father, who was a World War II veteran, was disabled, and it was our local legion that provided a handicap accessible walkway to our house.
Okay.
So I always remember that. It took me a long time to join the Legion, 10 years after I got off active duty, in fact. And I've always had a desire to serve my community, my fellow man, my country.
So it just kind of fell into it,
yes.
And you kind of followed Commander Peggy Moon through the chairs.
Correct.
And she did a wonderful job. I'm sure you're going to have a good year,
too.
Oh, I agree.
Thank you, sir.
What are any special goals for this year?
Yes. Attract the newer or the younger veterans. I want to implement a training educational program back into our Legion. It was something that we had years ago, and we kind of got off track. So we're going to concentrate on getting our members to know what the Legion is. So oftentimes, many of them don't know that.
And, of course, that's the same issues. When I joined on the way back from Vietnam, the World War II guys were saying, go get your buddies and bring them in here.
Yes.
And then the Vietnam guys are now up there, and we're saying, where's the Gulf War veterans? Where's the young veterans from Afghanistan?
It's the same problem.
Same problem over and over again.
Since World War I.
And in addition to being the state commander for the American Legion, you're the chair of the Commander's Task Force here this year. Some extra responsibilities.
Yeah, somehow I just got caught up in that whole thing last month when we had our first meeting.
I'm going to ask John about that. Somebody did volunteer you for that
one. actually, it was the AMVETS commander, Russ. Okay. I've known Russ Kunkel for several years through the Legion.
So did you hear the train whistle going when they railroaded you down that one?
I don't mind.
So the principal thing that you work on at the Commander's Task Force is pulling all the veteran service organizations together, counting all their membership, and then going up to the Hill to work on veterans' issues.
Correct. We stand together. That's why we have the CTF. It, each separate organization, I mean, we have several numbers, but when we're all together and working on the same goal, I feel that we'll have more success.
And Commander, what's your Commander's project this year?
Mine is MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans.
Very good.
Concentrating on the homelessness or preventing those that are right on the brink of homelessness.
Yeah, and we've been working on that pretty hard for the last few years, so it's going to be fun to see that.
Well, we've cut it in half already.
Yeah, that's progress. That's progress. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today from Federal Premium Ammunition at the Commander's Task Force meeting. And we've been talking to Commander Denise Milton from the American Legion, and also with us is the Deputy Commander of AMVETS, John Flores. John, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us when and where did you serve, sir?
Well, a variety of places. I served in Central and South America and Germany and all over the country, actually. And so I've served with a number of foreign armies, the Chilean Army, Argentina, El Salvador, did a little work with the German Army and the Brits.
Let's take it by your jacket. It was the United States Army.
It was the Army, and early on, it was what we thought was the only part of the Army was infantry. And we got a little wiser as we got a little longer in the tooth and went to aviation and military intelligence. And ultimately, wound up in evaluation.
Can you tell us what are the mission and goals for AMVETS this year?
We have several. Right now, one of our hard pushes is to raise awareness for veteran suicide. We are distributing lots of literature, cards, crisis cards, the phone number to call. We emphasize that at our appearance at the state fair, where we did counsel many families. And unfortunately, we just lost one a couple of days ago. And that was very sad for us, and so we really want to reemphasize that there's people out there hurting. We want to get them some help.
And you're here today representing AMVETS at the Commander's Task Force meeting, and how does that all pull together with the various service organizations?
Well, I believe our agendas really are similar. We communicate with each other. We're unified in the agenda, especially to the legislature, but to the public as well, raising awareness. We share a lot of activities, but the agenda is similar, taking care of veterans. That's our bottom line goal.
And are you guilty in helping drive the railroad that led Denise to being the chairman?
Well, I can't take credit for that because I didn't go to that meeting. You know, sometimes it's good not to go to meetings once in a while.
Although they might elect you to
something. They might elect you to something. That happens, you know.
But Denise, you did show up the day you were elected, didn't you?
Yes.
So it can't be too bad. You accepted it.
We have a great commander. Denise is going to do a great job.
We're going to have a big year. I know we've talked about Vets Day on the Hill coming up in February. Yep. We hope to, Denise, get you on the show before that so that we can talk about the items that you're working on this year and encourage our veterans all over the state to come down to Vets Day on the Hill and talk to their legislators to make sure that we have a good presence there, and you're able to push whatever items that the Commander's Task Force agrees on to move for Vets Day on the Hill. And we hope to see some of you at the annual Christmas show. And Denise, I hope you've got a chance to talk to Beth, and we'll get you on the schedule so that we can get you back in and talk at length about what you're
Sounds
doing
good.
And your Commander's project. And John, I'm going to give you the last shot here. What else is AMVETS up to for the... We've got about a minute left.
Well, we're emphasizing to a lot of our posts is that scholarships for kids. We need to get our kids, you know, educated, get them started on the road to college and higher education. Communication with our entire system is really important. We're working on a unified communication system right now. Our membership is getting long in the tooth in some areas, and they don't make meetings, and so we want to reach out to them. Stay home and talk to us on the computer.
Well, John, I hope all our people are listening, all the veterans out there, take a look at AMVETS and take a look at the programs they're doing, and, of course, the American Legion as well. I'd like to thank both of you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. We have to take a short break. We're at Federal Premium Ammunition today. When we come back, we'll meet the commander of the DAV, as well as the Vice President of the Paralyzed Veterans. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, We're going to meet with the Disabled American Veterans and the Paralyzed Veterans of America. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Chalutoux.
This year marks the 75th anniversary of the attacks on Pearl Harbor. On December 7th, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans community will honor and remember this war, those who fought, and those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. This year will be a special year as we will be holding our annual event in a new location, the Minnesota History Center, at 10 a.m. Additionally, to honor this special anniversary, there will be events held throughout the day in the communities around the state. A listing of all of the events can be found at minnesotaveteran.org/Pearl Harbor. I encourage you to attend one of these events on December 7th and help us honor and remember our heroes who are still with us and those who have passed.
Thank you, Commissioner Chalutoux. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is the commander of the DAV Minnesota, Mick Aguirre, and also from Paralyzed Veterans of America, Todd Kemmery. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Mick, we're going to start with you, but you can't take up the whole segment now, so you got to be quick. You're a Marine, right?
Yes, sir.
We're going to behave today, though, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, yeah. And you're also the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, and we've had you on the show a few times. Busy organization, vans all over the state, there's hunting events coming up. You've got a lot of things going on.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. We got 19 vans stationwide, statewide, and they serve over, each van serves over 1,000 veterans, taking them from their home to the VA medical appointments and bringing them back home. And we're always looking for volunteer drivers, though. We received a national award because our volunteer drivers in the state of Minnesota drove over 1.7 million miles last year. And we received a new 12-passenger flex bus from our national organization, the DAV, for being number one in the nation. And we put that into service up in Fergus Falls.
So for our listeners out there, the DAV and several of the other veteran service organizations have supplied vans all over the state that help transport our veterans to their medical appointments at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. But all the drivers are volunteer. So if you want to drive, you don't have to be a veteran. You just have to have a good, clean driving record and a good heart and want to help our veterans. Just go to davmn.org, and there's all kinds of information right there, isn't there, Commander?
That's correct, Tom. A little background. I was born in St. Paul, grew up on the east side, joined the Marine Corps in 67, 71, went to Vietnam 68, 69, was discharged out of Yuma, Arizona in 1971, and come from a wide veteran family. My dad had 9 brothers, and all 10 brothers were in the service, and the city of St. Paul named a street after them, Aguirre Street, right on the east side off of Payne Avenue.
Aguirre Street. There we go. I'm going to have to go over there and see that, Mick. We'll have to see
what
that looks like.
Let me know.
You just finished the meeting, a Commander's Task Force meeting, and you're new in the job of being the state commander. It looks like as a group you get together and do some pretty good work.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of legislative initiatives that we'd like to see for the veterans, and we go over new ones every year, and the different organizations bring up one that are a little more specific to each organization. And this year, the DAV wanted to concentrate on the home credit, where if the veteran passed away, the widows would still get eight years of tax breaks on their homestead taxes. And we'd like to get the hunting license for all the veterans. Right now, I think you have to be 100% to get free hunting license and fishing licenses. Well, and we'd like to get that prorated maybe down to 50 or maybe even lower.
So you're working on some agenda items for the next legislative session.
That's correct.
And then we're going to have some folks on the show before Veterans Day on the Hill in February, and we'll talk about that agenda and a little more about that. But, Mick, we got to meet another Marine here. We've got Todd Kemmery with us from Paralyzed Veterans of America. Todd, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tom.
Can you tell us when and where you served?
Sure. I was in the Marine Corps also, and I served primarily with the Air Wing out in Tustin, California, a suburb, I guess you would call, of Los Angeles and Orange County. Tustin Helicopter Base was just a little bit north of El Toro, which is probably more familiar for a lot of people, the El Toro Jet Base.
Mick shaking his head, yeah.
And if when I wasn't there, I spent a year over in Okinawa. So my time in was from 1978 to 1983. I was injured while I was still in the Marine Corps, and it took them about a year for me to be medically retired. I've been in the wheelchair for 34 years now, so that's a little bit of my personal story, but my occupational story would be I am a Marine.
You are a Marine. We got it loud and clear. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're broadcasting today from Federal Premium Ammunition, just following up a Commander's Task Force meeting, and we're speaking with Mick Aguirre from the DAV and Todd Kimmery from Paralyzed Veterans of America. And Todd, Paralyzed Veterans of America is a relatively new veteran service organization. Can you tell us how it got organized?
It's new to the Commander's Task Force. Our national office is located in Washington, D.C., and Paralyzed Veterans of America was formed in 1947. And so locally here, the Minnesota chapter was formed in 1993.
93, okay.
So we're a relatively new chapter. There are 38 other chapters across the United States, but we all take our part of our direction from, and we emulate what National does out in Washington, D.C.
So how many members do you have in Minnesota?
We have, at any given time, 350, 355. Unfortunately, that number changes when our older veterans pass on, but... But that we're a smaller organization.
Our World War II guys, Korea guys, and some of my Vietnam buddies are going all too quick.
Right. Unfortunately, that's just part of how the service organizations have to deal with.
Well, welcome to the Commander's Task Force. I'm sure you're going to be a good, loud voice there. And
yes, and thank you. And we have some pretty big shoes to fill. So we're excited about being here, and... We're anxious to get started on our mission with the legislative efforts, and we're looking forward to contributing in a big way.
And what's the mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America here in Minnesota?
Well, we have eight different foundational pillars that we'd like to, but I'll keep it to the basics: sports and recreation. We do advocacy and legislative. And then, of course, we're always interested in medical research and education. So we do a lot of that right there at the VA hospital, the new spinal cord injury center. That's where our office is at. So we're right there close to helping out and being part of the rehab program.
So you spend some time with Director Kelly out there and give him some input about what the paralyzed veterans might need or want?
Absolutely. We have a great relationship with the VA hospital out there, but also at the same time, we're also interested in making sure that our veterans, as well as all veterans, are getting, they're not falling through the cracks.
And I think we're very fortunate here in Minnesota. We don't seem to have the problems we hear about, like in Phoenix and some other parts of the country. Minneapolis VA healthcare system seems to be doing a really good job for us.
That's absolutely true. PVA is one of those things where we not only do we advocate for the veteran, but we also advocate for the VA itself. We are very interested in being able to introduce, or I should say support, the idea that the VA needs to have the money to be able to perform their specialized medical care. Without that specialized care, then the veterans organizations the different specific veterans won't receive the level of care that they're getting right now.
And the other side of that is the more veterans that the Minneapolis VA Medical Center takes care of, the more funds they get to do better and better things each year.
Absolutely.
So does your group get together periodically?
We have a board meeting. As far as the intricate part of the business, how we run it, we have a board meeting once a month. Since our office is there at the VA Spinal Cord Injury Center in Minneapolis, We are involved with their programs, especially with their recreational department, and then throughout the year we have bowling that's on a weekly basis, we have trap shooting, as we're moving into the summer or winter months from the summer months, we have skiing and And so, we're a four-season opportunity organization.
It's great to hear, Todd, and I hope you'll get together with Beth, and we'll get you on the schedule, and we'll get a longer interview and find out more about the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Thank you, Tom.
Mick, just 30 seconds left. What's your final thoughts? What are you doing?
Well, we're doing the DAV. We got some fishing trips coming up the Big Winnie, and trying to get the guys out there, outdoors, and all veterans, the state of Minnesota, they like to be outdoors, so we're trying different activities to get everybody out there and enjoy our God's country.
So that's all that information is at davmn.org. If you want to be a volunteer driver, go there. If you want to find out about those outdoor things, go to that site too. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. This is Minnesota Military Radio, recording today from the Federal Premium Ammunition. In the next segment, we'll be back with Vietnam Veterans of America and the Marine Corps League. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. As we've said earlier, we're broadcasting today from Federal Premium Ammunition, following up on a Commander's Task Force meeting. And we've been meeting several of the Veteran Service Organization commanders, and joining me this segment will be Vietnam Veterans Commander Terry Palmer and the Marine Corps League Commandant Jerry Walters. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Terry, I want to start with you. You're the commander of Vietnam Veterans here in Minnesota. Can you tell our listeners you served in the Navy?
Yes, sir. I served 4 years in 68 to 72. I made... served aboard a USS Ranger, an aircraft carrier, Forrestal class. I worked on the flight deck, and I spotted aircraft for launching on catapult number 3. That was the culmination of my 3 trips over to Vietnam, Tonkin Gulf, called it Yankee Station. And then after I got out, I reaffiliated back to my working, and then joined the reserves for 20 more years. So I finally retired with 24 years service.
Well, good work. You served your country, Jerry.
Yeah, thank you.
And now you're the commander of the Vietnam Veterans
of America,
Minnesota.
Minnesota State Council president. Just one of those things. I'd been involved with VVA for about 8 years, I guess. Started with a new chapter in Mankato, and I've been going to a lot of the meetings, the quarterly meetings, and... when it looks like they needed somebody to fill in, our previous commander or previous president had gotten sick after some surgery. And
Jim had a tough year there.
Jim had a tough year, yes, he did. And then Bob wasn't going to take it up permanently. He stayed as the vice president. But so I said, well, I'll try her and see what happens.
And we're talking about Jim Fisher, and he's doing better now, and Bob Behrens filled in.
Bob Grubinski.
Oh, Grubinski. Well, we had Behrens on the radio in place of Jim quite a few times.
Yeah.
So can you tell our listeners what's the mission of the Vietnam Veterans of America in Minnesota?
Well, one of the big goals is going to be supporting the Senate Bill 2921, which is the Veterans First Act, which includes Senate Bill number 901, the Toxic Exposure Research Act of 2015. We'll push for it to be on the floor and that provide research for toxic exposure for veterans exposed to toxic chemicals during their military service. We have, as a member of our Minnesota state here, Vietnam Veterans America National Chairman of the Agent Orange, and his name is Maynard Cadillac, and he's given us a phone number to have anybody, any of our listeners, contact him for thinking of having a town hall meeting in their home or hometown or their VFW post, Legion post, or wherever. And his cell phone number is 507-581-6402, and he puts on some real good town hall meetings. He's been doing it over about 6-7 states here in the Midwest, out to Montana and Idaho. But that's our big thing is the support of these Senate bills and House bills. So
your big push over the years has been to do the research on the ramifications of Agent Orange.
Agent Orange, and then the other thing that we need some need a lot of work with is the Blue Water Navy is not counted towards Agent Orange or susceptibility to Agent Orange, or and that's where I'm at. I'm at a Blue Water Navy deep draft.
So the Brown Water Navy was the Navy that was up in the rivers and
right.
direct exposure, and but they're proving, I think, that a lot of the Blue Water Navy
yes.
were exposed as well.
Some of the
that.
Smaller boats or smaller ships are being included, and we just need some of the bigger ships to be included. So
Terry, you just finished the Commander's Task Force meeting. Yeah. Are you enjoying working with the other veteran service organizations?
Yeah, it's a terrible learning experience for me. I've been the commander of a local VFW down in Mankato for a number of years, and quartermaster with those guys. So it's all a complete learning system for this. This is really different.
And, of course, today we're making you sit right next to the Marine Corps League.
Marine Corps League, yes.
So we're having trouble with that. This is Minnesota Military Radio, broadcasting from Federal Premium Ammunition, just following up a Commander's Task Force meeting. And the other gentleman that's with us is the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota, Jerry Walters. Jerry, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
You must have been too hard on the Navy here.
Oh, well, we try. But somebody had to take us where we were going.
Yeah, there you go, yes.
And the only problem is they don't have wheels on all those ships.
Yeah, it's only you.
Well, they drove you around, so you got to be nice to the Navy.
They did.
So, Jerry, can you tell our listeners, when did you serve?
Well, I served from 1958 to 1961. And after basic training in southern beautiful Hollywood Marine, California, where I served the rest of my entire tour in the desert of 29 Palms, California.
Tough duty.
Oh,
I remember
tough
now.
Duty.
And for our listeners, you know, there's no question he's a Marine. He's head to foot in red and USMC, and once a Marine, always a Marine. You ever seen anything like that, Terry?
Yeah, there. I worked with a man on the railroad who World War II, and he's still. Up until the time he retired, would polish his railroad work boots every night.
Bit polish, no. I've got.
I don't
I've
know.
Got,
those tennis shoes don't look too polished.
I know. I don't like to wear shoes of any kind.
Jerry, quickly, the mission of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota.
Well, we have several missions. I think the main one right now, especially at this time of the year, is our Toys for Tots, Toys for Kids. We're all about a lot of things. It's supporting veterans, of course, and veterans. Legislation to better what we can do, but overall at this time of the year and moving through a lot of the year is our Toys for Tots program. We have which is assisted by the Marine Corps Reserve, which has this program, but in the state we have detachments all over the state which collect toys and distribute toys and supplies, food sources, and everything else for our children that might not necessarily have a safe in it. Nice Christmas.
And how many members do you have now in Minnesota?
For the league itself, I'm going to say a little under 1,000.
All right.
So and 14 detachment. Whether they've
served in the Marine Corps, then they can join the league?
They can join the league. FMF Corpsmen, FMF Fleet Marine Force. Corpsmen and chaplains are eligible for full regular membership. We have associate membership for all branches of the service and civilians.
So Terry could be an associate member of the Marine Corps League.
We have Navy personnel. We have Army. We've got Canadian Navy.
Commandant, he's giving me a funny look on
that. Oh, boy, I know. Well, you know who we're partial to.
Yeah.
But, no, if there's the members of each detachment vote on their membership. And if there's – we have many members out – or civilians, that we'll call them, in the area that support everything we do and sometimes even more than a member does – and they want to be a part of what we do. Now, they cannot hold an office, but they can do everything else with loading that we have. And so we invite all that want to help us serve to help us serve.
Jerry, we've just got about a minute left. You just finished the Commander's Task Force meeting. You've been on the task
yes.
force for a while.
Yes.
It looks like a very productive organization.
It does. It is. I think we're looking forward to this year working with each other and our own organizations and other military organizations, and putting a little leverage to our congressmen too. There's not many military people out there in our legislature, but. We're going to push all of them to help us support our veterans of Minnesota, 360-some thousand strong.
Well, we hope that you come up with a great agenda and a list of items that you want to work on at the legislature this year. And it's great to see that all the veteran service organizations pulling together on behalf of our veterans out there to make sure they're taken care of.
And like everybody else, I want to thank you for doing what you're doing for us and letting us be exposed to the to our great state.
Well, it's great to tell those stories, and we have a network of 36 stations now that will carry this, and we hope to see you gentlemen back on the show throughout the course of the next year, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Joining me now is Dwayne Lowe, the Director of Operations from Federal Premium Ammunition in Anoka. Dwayne, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be back.
Dwayne, you and I met a few months ago, and we were talking about the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 9 veteran service organizations here in Minnesota, and you volunteered to allow them to come out and use your lodge out here on your site, and they had a great meeting this morning, and we've interviewed about 8 of them, and pretty quick we're going to go over and have a little lunch, courtesy of you and Federal Premium, and then they're going to take a tour of this great facility that's been out here almost 100 years.
That's right. It's been on site for 94 years, started in 1922, and they're going to get to see how we make the best ammunition in the world.
And a lot of it.
Correct. Millions and millions of rounds per day, and they may even get to have a chance to do some fun shooting down in our ballistics area.
Well, I've been on that tour, and I don't know what kind of weapons you've got out. But last time I was there, there was a grease gun from World War II. That was pretty interesting.
We'll have a good variety.
For our listeners, Dwayne and Federal Premium, part of Vista Outdoors, been a big supporter of Minnesota Military Radio. You've been a big supporter of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Out here at Federal Premium, you have multi-generations of employees that have worked at the same plant for all these years, and you employ a lot of veterans.
We do. More than 200, and those are the ones we know about, which is about, 15 to 20% of our workforce. So very proud to have veterans working for us and very proud to host this event.
And you're working around the clock making ammunition and can't keep up.
That's right. Now the market still is very, very strong, and we love what we do here.
So are you looking for some good veterans to hire, Dwayne?
Absolutely. We're always looking for good people to hire, and certainly one of our big pushes is to have veterans working here at any of our Vista Outdoor locations, but especially here in Anoka at Federal Premium.
Well, when we had that meeting a couple months ago, you wanted an opportunity, and you got it today, to meet the commanders, the state commanders of 9 veteran service organizations that are over there taking a picture now. That's quite a crew.
It is, and I just feel very honored, and so does everybody else here at Federal, to have this crew here all assembled today for their meeting. It was outstanding.
Well, you've been a great supporter. It's been great working with you. The commanders all seem very happy about being out here today, and they're kind of excited about having some walleye and wild rice for lunch and go over and see what kind of see how you make all this ammo and what they might shoot this afternoon.
Sounds like a fun afternoon, doesn't it?
On behalf of the Commander's Task Force and all of those commanders and Minnesota Military Radio, thank you so much for your support, the Commander's Task Force, Minnesota Military Radio, Minnesota Military Family Foundation. You're a great corporate partner.
Thank you, Tom. Very glad to do it. Thank you.
That was Dwayne Lowe, Director of Operations from Federal Premium Ammunition, where we've been broadcasting today. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank all of our commanders from the Commander's Task Force for joining us today, as well as Dwayne Lowe from Federal Premium Ammunition, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet the new president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.